What is going on, guys? It is your boy Kelly Mack on the track. No, I bring it back, and we are back with Trash Sit Down, episode 108. Remind me to get an applause or something. We need celebration every time.
We
deserve it. Thank you, Mister. I appreciate you, brother. I'm here with the gang as usual. You feel me? We got Sure Hat Ma in the building. What's going on, my brother?
What's good, y'all? So much stuff happened throughout the week, but this chapter is probably top three of great news in terms of like crazy chapters. So I'm ready to get into it.
Oh my god. Yeah, I was reading that chapter this weekend, and by the time I got to that last page, my jaw was just completely on the floor.
Chapter.
Yeah, it's a lot. We got a lot to unpack today. It's gonna be a busy episode today. Mr. G in the building, what's going on, my brother?
What's good, everybody? Two quick shout outs. The shirt right now I have on is a subtle devil fruit Hawaiian shirt that one of my best boys, Donato, he got me.
That's fire.
All the devil fruits on it. And also to my tattoo artist, Allie, she did my Brooke tattoo. Which...
Oh, that's Brooke with the soul coming out.
Yeah.
So I prefer Brooke's pre-time skip form attire, so with the violin. So I had him still have that, but then have the ghost from post-time skip, like his ghost astral form come out, and then have the green really pop out, and then with the music,
good choice, bro.
That shit is definitely fire.
Yeah. So thank you, Ali. Shout out to D3. Hope you're feeling better, and Blackhawk, doing his thing at work. So shout out to you guys.
All right. Yeah, D3's a little under the weather. We're gonna wish him a safe, nice, healthy recovery. Hold it down for him until he can return. You know the vibes.
Yes, sir.
Last but not least, that boy Wyatt's in the building. What's going on, my brother?
I'm chilling, man. I'm excited to talk about this amazing chapter, and like obviously the level of reveal is just crazy. But I will say I got cooked. A certain big YouTuber tweeted the same day the chapter dropped.
About
watch this video of mine, and it's the title, this shit is sinking, and I'm like, yeah. I saw a tweet on Friday and my heart dropped. I was like, are you kidding me? I'm just glad it's the beginning of the broadcast, something crazy, but still I had to get that off my chest. Spoilers are the worst. I was hype anyway. It was great. I think it was one of the best chapters in Egghead, period. Even without the review, I think it was amazingly done. So I'm hype anyway.
You have every right to be upset. Spoilers are the bane of all of our existence trying to read manga nowadays. It's actually ridiculous.
Like, I got to Friday.
It's really bad.
I thought
it's
good.
Really bad. Monday, bro. Like, literally tomorrow, we gotta be careful.
We gotta be right back on. Well, actually, I think we're on break this week.
We are, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
We are?
Yeah. But the second Monday's back, I'm deleting Twitter.
Yep. Just like that. All right, before we get into the chapter, because we do got a lot to get through, but before we do that, YS has suggested a pretty cool game for us to play. One Piece Wordle or One Piece Duel. That's the shit. This shit is nasty. But so apparently, YS can explain it actually, since he's suggested it.
Make sure we can see it on the stream, because we can no longer see it on the stream. Everyone's played Wordle, the New York Times game. It's a fun guessing game where you get clues about the letters, but this time you get clues about the characters, but their haki, how tall they are, and their affiliation, the Straw Hat Pirates, the Don Quixote Pirates, for example, and what arc they're revealed and stuff like that. And we're gonna go through it. Just, I know the answer, so these guys will play. But all you have to do, Cali, is put in a first character, and then you'll completely understand the attributes it gives you, and then go off that. I think you guys can do it.
So, Mr. and Ma, do y'all want to take turns with guesses, or do you want to collaborate on answers?
Let's collaborate.
Okay.
Yeah, that's cool.
We a crew.
All right. So, what's our first? How many guesses do we get?
It's unlimited. Actually.
Oh, it just keeps going until you get it. All right. Yeah. Well, how y'all feeling to start? I want to do some abstract shit, like Kaya or some dumb shit.
They might got, like, there's some they might not, it's kind of new, I think, so they might not have some, but we'll see.
Do you guys hear that like a voice?
A voice?
I do. Kelly, I think it's something in your background, maybe, a TV or something?
Might be the voice in the...
Now I can't hear it, so.
Oh, yeah, we're good now.
But I can. Anyway.
But, abstract, what are you guys thinking? I was thinking like Duval.
That's not a bad one. The question is, do they have them?
Oh, okay.
But I think just getting names on the board and working with what it gives you is really the play.
Oh, so it shows you what names they have.
Yeah. And boom, Duval's not there. So some side characters sadly did not make the cut. I guess they're working on it.
Okay.
You just throw a name down, I think is best. It's a Charlotte Mon.
Who did you put?
Charlotte Mon. I don't even know who the fuck.
Okay. So no hockey.
And he's a male. Okay. And his bounty is lower.
His bounty is height. Lower than 120 million. And he's shorter.
Yeah.
Than this dude. So this guy is fodder, whoever this dude is.
First arc also. Under Whole Cake.
They're before Whole Cake, yeah.
Before Whole Cake, that makes sense.
Yo, does Jinbei have hockey?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Jinbei's bounty is over 120M though, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right. My bad.
Yeah.
Frankie? How tall is Frankie?
Frankie's tall as fuck, but drop it anyway, because then he'll give you some clues.
Fuck it.
No devil fruit.
No hockey.
Less than water 7.
Less than water 7. Okay, that's
interesting.
Heard of the manga.
That's true.
This is pretty.
No, cool. Also not a Shy Pirate, which is a big thing.
Yeah, that's right. No Shy Pirates. So, excuse me.
Names on the board. Names on the board. I think you just dropped something.
It's not Zoro.
What about one of the Baroque works, Mister?
Didn't they have Devil Fruits though? Didn't they have Devil Fruits though?
Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they did a lot of
Devil
Fruits,
you're
right.
But they'll give you some
hints. But yeah, let's put one down because it might help us with the saga.
Okay.
Less than 24 million. This nigga is a scrub.
And he's before Alabasta.
Holy shit,
this guy's a super scrub.
Don Krieg. Interesting guess. You have the answer now.
We're close.
Jin?
Oh, Jin. Krieg Pirates. Jin. Okay, yeah. Jin,
right?
Wait, how do you spell this nigga's name?
G.
With not a
G.
Not a J, yeah. Boom.
Let's go.
Well done, guys. Nice. Yeah, they're boom. Jin, I don't play this every day, but it's a fun game.
That was fun.
Nice.
I've seen people do a basketball one of that. That's pretty.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah. There's a lot of versions of it. This site has like Smash Bros. Pokemon stuff like that.
I think it'd be cool if there was like a timer, like in Wordle, like if you had a limited amount of guesses.
1000%.
A little pressure on it, but it was fun. It's definitely cool.
Yeah, we can give ourselves that.
Yeah, I mean,
I got like a guess limit, but yeah, that was fun. Good stuff, guys.
Nice, let's go.
Didn't even need me to give you the answer.
Nah, it's all good. We figured it out. Alright, let's get into the chapter, right? A lot to get through, a lot of reveal shenanigans going on. Let's do it. Okay. We got a new cover story too. Color spread.
Yeah, beautiful.
This shit is fire. This shit is definitely fire. We got Chopper as all the chess pawns.
Yep.
Everybody else with different chess pieces, pretty cool.
So good.
Zoro Sanji as a knight. You got the bishops with Frankie. The rooks. It's just nice.
Yeah, I see it. That shit is fire. I didn't even notice all of the rest of them in the background until. What is Luffy supposed to be?
Luffy's the king, and Nami's the queen.
Yeah.
He's hovering over a little. King.
Yeah, there's no real way to tell what Luffy is, but he has to be the king.
No, it said. Oh, I feel like right underneath him, he's like.
Oh, he has the piece says king.
Yeah, the piece looks like it says king. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great catch. Wow.
You feel me?
Oh, say king. Oh, good. And good shit, bro. And then the cloud is what attaches him to the piece. Yeah. That's just nice.
That's like a real figure.
This shit is sick. I would love this fucking set.
This is definitely. Now, this would be a dope ass actual chess piece set. I can't lie. I would definitely play that shit.
I'd be Grandmaster, bro.
All right, let's get into it. Chapter 1113, Stalemates. We start off last chapter, or this chapter where we ended off last chapter, with, oh my god, the dude, this
Mars.
Thank you. Yo, I hate all of these guys. You know, like, I'm guessing planets, bro. This shit is so dumb. We start off, we ended last chapter with Mars inside Punk Records looking to stop the broadcast. He finds a snail that is assumedly the snail that is broadcasting, according to
York.
Thank you. Of course, we find out later that that is Cap, but before he even gets to break the transponder snail, he looks up in the area that he's in, and he sees that Punk Records is a giant Vegapunk head, kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
I think he makes a remark about how this is his true form, or like how it's actually him. And all, it's really just the top of Vegapunk's head, but super ginormous, wired up in like a vat of some type of liquid. Yeah, this shit is sci-fi.
This shit was crazy.
Yeah. I really didn't expect it to be his actual head.
No.
Yeah.
I thought he took his brain out, but he literally just chopped that shit off and left it in there. Yeah. What a panel. It looks like, it's actually a crazy drawing, honestly. It looks like something you would see in a different manga, like Blame or some sci-fi manga.
This is definitely different than the normal type of One Piece stuff.
Oda flexing right now, bro. Because he's like, bro. We had a feeling, like, I thought it was a body, right? Like, but I did not expect to be Vegapunk's head, but it makes sense.
Because
what the fuck happened to his head, though? You know what I mean? And we've seen it. It was huge before. But the fact that he cut that shit out.
I assume that when he cut his head, that he had just split it amongst
the satellites.
The satellites, but this does make sense thinking about it.
But it's also crazy because he was talking about how is Vegapunk, like, even he said, well, first of all, he said even after death, you know, this is it continues to live. So first of all, is that a confirmation for us that Vegapunk is actually gone? Or,
well, I think his heart is gone.
I think that that the Stella that we saw, that body is gone. I don't think Vegapunk maybe as an entity is dead, but that Stella specifically is not coming back.
Mm-hmm. And that's really the question that we have to ask, right? Like, what does that mean to be alive and stuff like that? And the questions this arc as a whole poses about consciousness, life and death, free will. It's really, really interesting. So yeah, I think Oda's prodding us in the direction of, like, is Vegapunk dead? You know, in terms of what you think Vegapunk is. So
yeah
who knows? Yeah. I don't know.
Like, his physical self is gone, but you know, his consciousness and brain or whatever is still out there, like, doing his thing.
He's philosophical in here.
Yeah, I got to my head. I wouldn't call him dead, which is crazy.
Yeah. One thing that was nice, an Easter egg from Oda. Real life Einstein died in April and had his brain stolen and experimented on. So, you know, that's a nice little correlation that Oda did with reality.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, definitely a dope reveal. Definitely a dope reveal. Mars, right?
Yes.
Mars, there we go. Is not entirely enthralled with the giant floating head, as you think one might be. But he's got a mission. He goes to proceed to step on the snail, but before we see the end of that, we cut to Syrup Village, Usopp's old home, where we see Kaya and the young trio that used to follow Usopp all gathered around a transponder snail to try and hear the message from Vegapunk. I think it was nice to see the kids a little bit more grown up. Nice little callback. We then go all different parts of the world. To see people getting ready to react to the message. We go to Twin Capes with Laboon and what's his name?
Brokus.
I was gonna say Brutus. I was close.
Crocus? Yeah.
Yeah. No, okay, I wasn't close. Oh my gosh. That's tough. We go to Future Land, where Frankie was sent during the time skip. I don't know if this is the first we hear about this event, but we hear about the nightmare of Baltimore, which is...
It was Frankie blowing up the island in the time skip.
The island, right. I don't know if we ever found out that it was a... that they named the event, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Something like that. I think what I said, this would become the nightmare of Baltimore, but yeah. Okay. We finally get like that, like the aftermath of like, yeah, that was Frankie, dude. Fuck yeah. That guy, kind of.
That's hilarious. It also says that was Frankie and he's a ship now?
Because of his bounty was the Sunny. They were like, oh, he's a ship now. Yeah.
People think that's like big, like, Oda's not doing that by coincidence. Like, it's not just a joke. Like it's going to happen.
No, it's definitely on purpose.
I could definitely see that. We go to Birdie Kingdom, which is where Chopper got sent during the time skip. We see some of the people, the residents of that island, getting to react to the news. Same with Pirate Island, the pirates over there. And yeah, we just see everybody all around the world getting ready to react as the message actually begins to start. And as it's starting, Mars goes to step on the transponder snail that was supposed to be the broadcast, but it was a fake. It was a dead, but we all kind of guessed that. I ain't gonna lie. We kind of called that. It was a fake snail with a regular snail hidden inside. The fake snail looked like the real snail. It was a whole doohickey, and Mars got caught. And he flies out Punk Records in a fury. But at this point, there is really nothing less to do to stop the message. They have no idea where it's coming from, and Vegapunk just starts to get to it. Mars talks to the other guys as well through his the telepathic. I guess we don't know it's telepathic, but whatever power.
Gotta be.
Yeah. Connection, bro.
He lets them know that he couldn't stop it, and they gotta hold that.
That's the best way of putting that.
So as the message starts, they do make a little callback to Clover, only this time they believe that the incident will be fully revealed as opposed to getting stopped in the tracks. Before we get into the meat of the message, we cut back to Bonnie, Frankie, and them fighting Horse Dude. With Sanji,
Venus.
Thank you. I was waiting for one of y'all to say it. I'm not gonna lie. And Sanji, on his way to the same area to the rescue, he says he hears the sound of Bonnie's voice. And once he sees them in view, he sees Frankie getting ready to attack Venus and defend Bonnie. But before he can do anything, Sanji jumps into action. Says the only one that gets to score points with Bonnie is me. He's a freak, but it's all good.
Bro, that's a child, bro. Come on, Sanji.
I think the official put it weirdly.
I don't remember TCB being
that. I don't think TCB was that bad. I think he just said, like, yo, the only one's gonna protect Bonnie from danger is me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm hoping, like, they all know. No, Sanji, who knows that she's a kid? The people that were there.
That's fair, but I'm just Sanji was there though.
Sanji was there. Yeah. I think I'm just gonna say that I might be the official put it badly from what I understand of the situation.
I really don't think TCB did it that much better. I don't think that Sanji said the only one that can save Bonnie is me. I think he said something a little more flagrant. But I could be wrong.
Yeah, I just think this one's kind of flagrant.
No, this is bad. This is bad. I don't know why. Like, come on, Sanji. And you got a cool moment too. Like, you come in and hit a mean axe kick on the dude, have him bleeding and everything.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, doesn't last very long because Venus immediately goes into horse form and proceeds to bite the holy moly out of Sanji. Something to note that I saw on Twitter is the sound effects are like cracking and crunching, which might implement that. He broke through Sanji's exoskeleton.
I wouldn't be surprised. That's a nice pickup.
It could be like his bones breaking.
Or even Venus's bones breaking too?
No, I meant like Sanji getting his bones broken. Just like Queen in that Mutaki did. Yeah,
true.
Yeah, if I see some big damage later, I'll believe it. But this nigga Sanji, I haven't worried about him ever since he got that exoskeleton.
That's definitely fair. We don't even really see his aftermath after this.
We literally don't see him. Yeah.
Yeah.
He falls out later.
As the crew continues to fight against Venus, Vegapunk continues his message in the background. We get one of the giants coming in to step on Venus, hold him down. As Vegapunk says that he has committed two sins. When Sanji gets bitten, the Stella Vegapunk gets thrown away, but he gets caught by Atlas. Once that happens, Body turns into a giant to help fight Venus. There's a lot of chaos going on right now, on top of the message going on in the background.
Definitely.
I really don't think any of the Straw Hats are going to actually hear the message, which is kind of crazy to think about.
They'll be like occupied, but they can hear it, I think.
But are they really hearing it? Like, if you're fighting for your life, do you really hear what's going on in the background? You know what I'm saying? It's possible. It's possible. Vegapunk continuing his message says, therefore, whether I am arrested or executed, I shall program this message to be broadcast when my heart stops beating. I think that pretty much all but confirms that the Stella unit is finished.
Yeah.
Kapoop.
Yeah. RIP Bozo.
When I was reading this chapter, I kind of like lost over the fact that he said that. And then like the response to see that, like the people responding, I just realized like, wait, Vegapunk just announced that he's dead.
He's dead. Yeah, which is huge.
The world is in chaos after this for sure.
100%. We see reactions from places like the Sabaody. But they're saying that, and because the news had just released recently or the day ago or earlier that day to say that Shrad was holding him hostage, it's even more of a shock because everybody thought he was alive from that. We get reactions from Caesar and Big Morgan. Vegapunk continues his message that he wants to make one thing very clear first. Whoever may have rendered their judgment unto me, I am not trying to convince you that their intent is evil. I will not apply the labels of good and evil at all, in fact, because I understand too little about him to begin with.
My goodness.
That is very vague. Very vague. What are we thinking?
Definitely talking about Emu, I think.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so maybe it's not as vague as I thought.
My bad. I think the vagueness is what gives us the answer. Like, yes, sir. It makes me think about that line from last chapter where even though TCB like did the whole like when York said we don't want to rack up any more sins in quotation marks, that was an interesting line that she put in quotation marks. Obviously the official changed it, but like to me that it makes me wonder, like, is Vegapunk gonna drop the Emu bomb on the world, bro, that he exists, that someone says on the world, the empty throne?
I could definitely see that as a possibility, as maybe the second sin, because I think realistically we get the two sins that he talked about, and then either the broadcast stops or some shit happens.
Yeah, I could see that.
I'm interested in the way that Vegapunk phrases this, that he will not apply the labels of good and evil because he understands too little about this dude. Let's assume he's talking about Emu, right?
Yeah.
This would imply that Emu might not be inherently evil.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of crazy to think about, considering how we've seen the light that we've seen him in so far and everything we've seen him do.
Yeah. I think it raises some interesting questions. Like, first off, Vegapunk is, I'm not gonna lie. Vegapunk, I view one of the most compelling characters in One Piece throughout this arc. Like, obviously he's the smartest guy ever, he's a thinker for sure, which displays in these kind of thoughts, like, am I right about my morals? Do I have anything to say about who's right and wrong? And he also brings up the sins that he committed in that, like, yo, I'm a sinner, can I judge anyone else? It's very interesting philosophy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, and then raises the question of what he knows about Emu and the world government and the ancient history. And I think one thing that we always have to consider is that the people that wrote the Poneglyphs are the ancient kingdom. So no matter what, it's gonna have a bias. So they might, like, I'm not saying they did, but I'm saying it might have put them in a better light than it seems to us now. Like, because think about it, bro. 20 kingdoms collabed to defeat these niggas. They got together like, yo, they gotta be stopped. And you gotta ask, like, with 20, unless they're all evil fucks, are they just gonna wage war on one kingdom because they're advancing for technology-wise, for example? Like, the Ancient Kingdom might have done something wrong. You know what I mean? And then maybe Emu corrupted it all later, but the Ancient Kingdom might not have been the paragon of, you know, like, great society that we think they are. Just something to think about, especially now that Vegapunk has said this.
Yeah, that I think this line could really lead to some interesting intentions, or interesting intentions from some of the factions that we may have thought were 100% good or 100% evil.
Yeah,
it's definitely throw some gray in there. As Vegapunk is doing his message, Saturn climbs up the cloud, like we saw last chapter, and he is getting ready to run down on the crew up top. But before, as he's getting ready to bombard them, he stops and he notices Nico Robin. It's the woman that Akinu let slip between his fingers. He calls Akainu soft. This panel before Saturn says something. Is this? This looks kind of like a flashback, right?
It is.
Exactly. It's her. Yeah, it's her listening to Clover talk to the five elders on the phone.
Yep.
And that line that she's saying is Saturn, and then she recognizes his voice. So that's the whole.
Yeah.
Like,
voice. Okay, that's see. Okay. Yeah. This section did confuse me a little bit, but now that makes a lot of sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can see the shock stain on Robin's face. Mm-hmm. But she has gang with her. Nami screams out top of her lungs to protect Robin, and everybody just springs into action. Blocks all of Saturn's leg attacks. Nami swoops in and dives to save Robin, while Cloud Dude Zeus comes in to help. This is a dope panel, I can't lie.
It's one of the coolest panels, bro. Yeah, this is mad dope. Especially because it's the fucking others, bro.
It's the Weakling Trio. To watch the Weakling Trio spring into action like this against such a powerful opponent, this is really dope to see.
Yeah, this is great. Like, this is what you call a call to action. Like,
yes.
Nami said protect Robin. They immediately, without question, without hesitation, just go for it. Like, I love it. It's a great panel.
Because this is going quickly, because Saturn, right, he's on a mission, and he's like, get the fuck out of my way. But then he notices Nico. What I love the most, though, was how quick Nami picked up on it. Yep. And once this dude said Nico Robin's name, she was like, jumped into action, and you don't see that from fucking Nami. And like, she swore like that will never happen again to Robin, what happened in this lobby, Water 7, and like, it's not happening now, and it's just fucking beautiful. Like, this, like, fucking Chopper taking a whole hit using his guard point, Zeus coming out blocking a claw, Brook taking out one of fucking Saturn's legs, Usopp throwing his shit, you know, like, this shit is fucking sick, bro.
I think also, like, first off, you guys were spitting. And to your point about Nami, the top right panel of her, like, wait, what did this guy just say? And then she looks at Robin, and then he attacks, and then she's like, wait, we can't let this happen. Yeah. Oh, man, I think Nami being the one to say, like, we can't, like, it's... Like, as, like, her sister on the crew, you know what I mean? It's just, like, it's one of those... No, guys, it's one of the best moments I've seen. It's so good. And also, it kind of seems like a callback. Like it kind of seems like it's related to the color page. Like, it's like, they're, like, protecting her, like...
They're protecting her, exactly.
That's actually really cool. That's a good catch, actually.
That's why Oda's OD, bro. He fucking made that cover spread perfectly for this. Like,
no, that's actually really sick. That's a good catch.
This whole page is
sick. This page is sick. Definitely a dope page. Nice to see them in action. I don't know how long they last, but they're doing a thing for now. They're doing their thing.
We said this, by the way. We literally said the same. We actually, we call this chapter 2 a T, low key. Like, the action in the sense of, like, Sanji's probably who's gonna get to what's it called?
Bonnie.
Yeah.
And that even though Zoro and Jimmy are close to these people, like
that's next chapter.
They look, they don't really need them. Like they can get out on their own. They're not.
I definitely see Zoro and Jimmy pulling up on this one, especially because Sanji went to the other one.
Yeah. Zoro's not gonna let Sanji outshine Zoro for long. But yeah. I just think like
facts.
You were absolutely right about the fact that like the weakened trio or like all these people like they're tricky to fight and they can hold their own. They're shots for a reason.
Yeah.
Yes.
100%.
And I love that Usopp's not cowering right now either. You know what I mean? Like, because lately, like, even after post, like, at first he had, like, his confidence. And then as post time skip went on, he kind of, like, reverted back a little bit. But he's like, holding steady. And I, you know, just everyone's doing their thing. It's fucking awesome.
Progress isn't linear. So, you
know. Yeah, no, it's true. You're right.
You like that.
Yeah.
That's a bar.
Oh, that was a bar.
That's real. Yeah, definitely a dope page. We go back to Mars.
Yes, let's go.
I'm getting there. And you know what sucks is that we're on a break. When I come back in 2 weeks, I'm gonna be right back to Square Zero. I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna make some flashcards or something. So Mars, we come back to Mars, still trying to find the transponder snail, destroying everything, but to no avail. Too much stuff going on, too many buildings, too many transponder snails. It's impossible. Vegapunk's still in the background, continuing his message. Says, What I am about to tell you is so preposterous that you might even burst into laughter. York is trying to think where she, as in her other selves, may have hid the broadcast broadcast transponder snail. I think that Oda drawing this specifically, I think, kind of alludes to them being able to find it and destroy it at a certain point.
I agree with you.
And that's what made me think to my last message, to the last thing I said, that I think that Vegapunk gets off these two sins and he wants to say more, but they do cut it off eventually at some point.
Okay. I was actually gonna say, I think he just gets this off, just the one sin, and he starts rambling about the second one, like right when he gets to it, and then they cut it off, like
the
like,
one piece is
type of shit, like what they did with Ohara.
But I think what this chapter kind of sets up, like what they said, what the Gorosei said amongst themselves is like, and Mister, you've been saying it yourself about how like what happened in Ohara like was cut off, and Vegapunk is like, no, we can't let it stand. And even that chapter where there's a chapter called The Will of Ohara early in this arc when he tells them like that he took the books to Elbaf and stuff like that, or the giants did. I'm sure that the goal of highlighting the evil of the world government to the people is going to be accomplished, even if he doesn't get everything off. I think he'll succeed in at least that much.
Also, I will say one thing that I'm still wondering about is the fact that they made sure to get the visual transponder snail, like the video. So why is that? You know what I mean?
Yes, good point.
It's not just an audio thing.
That's a good question.
Yeah, it might be very...
Cause I think he's definitely going to prove the fact that what he's saying is true.
Yeah.
So.
Definitely a good point. So Vegapunk gets ready to finish his message. He says, however, you all have the right to know. Gorosei's still trying to figure out what to do, but they're stuck. They don't know what to do.
Yeah. Mars is considered nuclear action, literally.
Destroying the power.
If he decided to do that, everyone on the island would die, probably.
Yeah, aside from them.
Yeah.
It's definitely not even worth it at that point. And they realize that. They talk him into sense.
Yeah, because they said that's too much out of the question, because they lose not only the Marines, the ships, the and the equipment, but they also lose the source for the Mother Flame and stuff like that, which Emu absolutely wants and made that crystal clear. That is so
true. And if that wasn't there, I feel like they definitely would have done it then, because I feel like they don't care about people. Like, they wouldn't care about their soldiers.
I feel like the craziest part about that, like that catch, is that like they're willing to have Vegapunk say whatever he wants about their operations and the world and the history, rather than let the Mother Flame go away. And I'm assuming it's to operate Uranus or whatever that weapon was that destroyed Lucia. Like, they view that as the most important thing But like, it's taken 800 years to get to this point of like unrest and like people, you know, saying anything. I'm shocked that they view like the Uranus as the most important thing. That really means that they can truly just, I feel like they think they can just start over. Like with the publishing of the
world. It makes sense, especially with like what coming up next. Once Callie, actually, you know what, Callie, why don't you continue? I just want to talk about this. Yeah, like,
well, I've been waiting.
Just, yeah. Just one more page, one more panel. Vegapunk finishes his message off. To make a long story short, the world as we know it will sink into the sea. End of the chapter. We get the last panel is, Oda's a sick man for that. Just showing the ocean underneath.
Yeah.
He's a sick man for that.
With the mermaids.
That's a sick panel. Yeah. I really like that panel.
Yeah, it's dope. It's dope. Massive reveal. The world is sinking. It's crazy, and yet at the same time, in true Oda fashion, if you look back, it all makes sense. And it's
It really does.
Oda is once again the fucking goat. If you guys wanna break any
get something to say.
Yeah. So when they talk about the Mother Flame and stuff like that, yeah, it makes sense of them talking about starting over. What you said, Wildhunts, of them starting over, because let's be real, this probably happened before. Yeah. The world was sinking. It would not surprise me, right, if everything in One Piece that we know it as of right now is actually a lie, in terms of like why the world is what it is, in the sense that since the beginning of One Piece, it's always been like, because in our real world, it wears like 70-80% water. It wouldn't surprise me if the One Piece world today is actually in totality like 95% water and stuff like that, because you don't see land that stretches from super far distances like in today's world, like in the real world, like the, you know, United States, Africa, like Europe, like Asia, you know, land that stretches for like an incredible amount of kilometers.
I understand what you mean. Like we don't see land in mass. We don't see land in mass here. It's always at most an island, which is at most like a country.
But exactly,
it's never to like a continent level.
Exactly. So what if the world sank before, right?
Yeah.
And we see subtle hits of this too, like Water 7 with a lot of their city, the ancient Water 7 city being underground and constantly rising or whatever from their water issues. And then Wano used to be
old Wano,
old Wano sunken. And there, and we know that there are other ancient cities. And what? And who's to say, like, that big hole right above Enies Lobby, that could have been a city at some point. I am convinced that a lot of the land is under the ocean right now. And maybe the One Piece itself is something that will help bring down the water levels altogether to bring back the land. Like, that would be sick.
So, after I read this, I went down like a whole rabbit hole on like things that we've seen in the past. Like you said, Water 7, they still say that it's still continuously rising, right?
Yeah.
You have Old Wano. You have there was a moment in Alabasta where they mentioned that there was this one land that was rich that had the water. And they were saying that their fresh water was being taken over by salt water. Like, that was a small little mention.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But, like, that just shows that Oda's been hinting it back then. And another example, the stories about the All Blue. So I do think the All Blue was beforehand, right? Because that's how stories are made. Like it's from experience and shit. So whatever happened caused either, like you said, like, all the land sinking or some shit, but you know, like, it's just, there's so many fucking hints, bro. Because, like, we even have, like, Shanks' crew has no Devil Fruit user.
Mm.
We have Rayleigh, who coached ships, right, at Sabaody. We have Crocus, who lives in a whale. Like, I believe the Roger Pirates fucking knew when they got to Laugh Tale, and, you know, that's where they set out to get shit ready. Like I said, Rayleigh doing the coding. Like, it's just so many little things that we just, like, very subtle, and now it all starts to fucking make sense.
One of the biggest ones that I saw over the weekend, because, you know, everybody was posting about all the different, you know, going back and seeing the foreshadowing. One of the biggest ones I saw was from the time skip. When we go to Robin, and she is sent to the Revolutionary Army. Mm-hmm. And the area they're at is they are building
the bridge.
A humongous, ginormous, biggest bridge in the entire history of the world.
The Killer and Wolf.
They're saying that they're trying to build a bridge that connects every island to every island.
And the only thing we know about that bridge is that it was commissioned by the World Government Celestial Dragons.
Wasn't it also being made like a long time ago too?
It's been hundreds of years.
Hundreds of years, yeah.
Mister, you brought up a good point about the all blue, how like there was once a sea that was connected to all the blues and had all the fish from all the blues. And think about what Ma said, how there's no landmass that, you know, like it goes on past just an island. There's one, and it's the Red Lion. And there's so much to say about the Red Lion, how it divides the blues with the Reverse Mountain in the middle and the Grand Line. There's one crazy thing about the Red Line, or the Red Line specifically, is that Laboon has been hitting his head on the wall because he wants to get to the other side to meet Brook, right?
Yeah.
But yo, when they got to the New World, the island whales on that side had the same scars. I mean, they were hitting the head on the wall, but not for Laboon, not for Brook, for some other reason. So people think that's because that's not a natural
thing.
Landmass, there should be a path there for them. So there's so much to say, man. But the thing is, like, I really question what this all means, because obviously my first thought is that, okay, these niggas in the world government used Uranus or whatever rose the sea level back then. And you would think, okay, the natural thing is that they were the ones that erected the Red Line. But bro, they took over the Red Line. It was most likely Lunarians who lived there before because Marco said that Whitebeard once called the Red Line Land of the Gods before Marineford was up there.
Yeah.
If we view the Red Line as an unnatural construct, does that mean that like people were terraforming the Earth before the World Government and the Ancient Kingdom? I think the history before the Void Century is also going to come into play here.
It's also very possible. I mean, we've seen firsthand in these recent chapters of what the Mother Flame does, help with in terms of like whatever they're using it for, whether you say it's like for Uranus or whatever else they're doing. They struck down Lucinia Island, and the water, they said that the water levels rose.
Like, all over the world.
All over the world. And this message that Vegapunk sent was before that. I mean, he had that recorded before.
You're right.
They did that. So that means that Vegapunk saw that this happened basically in the past. That's probably the reason why, like I said before, Annie's Lobby, that hole looks very similar. They did it before at one point, or someone did it before. I don't even know if necessarily the Gorosei did it before, but someone did that before. And it rose the water levels. Maybe it was someone from the Ancient Kingdom that did it. Maybe that's why all 20 kingdoms rose up and try to fight the Ancient Kingdom. Because they saw that and they were like, holy hell, what are you doing? Like, and then they all fought. But maybe at some point, whether it was a conjoined effort or maybe it was like a individual effort from like a couple of people or one person or whatever, they took over and, you know, said, hey, you know what, this could actually work to my advantage. Whether it was Emu or whoever else, because we really don't have that much, but Emu was most likely involved in the Void Century. But regardless, someone took advantage of that chaos, of that situation. And that could have been the incident that, you know, the Ancient Kingdom did that got everybody to go against them. Because, I mean, you do some shit like that, I mean, it wouldn't take much of the entire world to, like, you know, fight you for that.
Yeah, no, 100%.
And that could be also the reason why the Gorosei are so worried, because if it if it came back that they the ones to do it, the world will do the same to them.
Yeah.
Or like whatever.
No, facts. I think the scary thing about the world government is that in the Reverie, there was the line. Well, there's a few lines that they say about, like, they ask even, like, what light should be struck down between, you know, like, Luffy, I think Shirahoshi and Blackbeard were the people he had the posters of.
Yeah.
And then there's a line that he said that the, I sent it to the chat, Ethan Baron Venus Zero, the Samurai Gandhi, he says, the world's equilibrium cannot be maintained forever. The time has come for a great cleansing. And with all the stuff about, like, you know, the end of the chapter made me think of this line specifically, because when I view a flood that, like, resets the world, that makes me think of, like, you know, biblical stories.
Noah's Ark, yeah.
Exactly, Noah's Ark, which is a literal thing in One Piece. Yeah. So I think what's scary is that, like, I wonder if, like, this, like, this, they can somehow flood the world. I wonder if that just means repeated uses of Uranus. But either way, that's what I meant when I said start over, because they view that, like, dude, we can just kill everyone on the planet.
Yeah.
And just restart, the voice entry is an interesting like piece of history, because I was watching a great video by Dak Sake that was recommended to me after this chapter, because he predicted a lot of stuff about, by the way, this was before we knew the Gorosei's names. He predicted that he was talking about how the world is influenced by the tides, and or the tides of the world are influenced by the planets around us. And he said that when planets align, there might be, like, when planets align in our world, people think that, like, a flood is possible for some shit like that, right? It's like, yeah, some more superstitious stuff. But think about what that means for One Piece right now. Like, if the Gorosei so choose, they could flood the world. And that video, another thing that I was thinking about was that he talked about how the Tentata that live in Dressrosa, their history also went void during the voice entry. There's no history there. But it's like, they were living with the Don Quixote family. And they, like, it's like, the level of like history that was wiped out in the voice entry is so insane that it makes me wonder, like, how the fuck they did it. Did they really just flood the world and kill almost everyone? Like, it's crazy what this means for the world.
That's true. And now that you say that, because where are the celestial dragons located? Where's Mary Jua? At the highest peak of the world. Yep. So, like, if they were to flood everything under that, that's everybody else, right? So that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and then they would, like, try to repopulate the world with only themselves or whoever they choose that is worthy of keeping. I mean, it's literally like, if you think about it, it's literally like reverse Noah's Ark in a way, mm-hmm. because in mm-hmm. the story, damn, I gotta go back and read that story now, because in Noah's Ark, you know, God told Noah take, you know, selected few. In terms of, like, humans, you could take your humans, family.
Yeah,
you could take your family, you could take your wife, your kids, and that's it. And I guess whoever else would believe you at the time, because Noah went around and told people, like, hey, the world's about to flood in like a year or so, and everyone laughed at him. So while he was creating the ark, but, you know, in this circumstance, since they're the quote unquote gods, they would be the ones that, you know, dictate whoever was worthy, which is everyone in the Holy Land or whatever, to be able to be safe from a great flooding, great cleansing, or whatever. So, yeah, I'm gonna do some reading on Noah's Ark later.
Yeah, man, it's how Oda, like, weaves in, like, you know, like, historical stuff, you know, religious stuff. He's a master of this shit, bro.
Masterclass, bro. That's what this is. Masterclass.
There's one thing I think I have to bring up, even though I think it's, like, a bit hard to point out. In the sky above Egghead, in this panel, the clouds above Egghead don't look natural.
I was thinking it was Uranus. Like,
yeah, because
the ship is coming.
Because look, you can see the clouds, like, on the horizon. The clouds right above the horizon, it looks like the sky's behind them. You know, it's not extremely cloudy, you know. Yeah. But right above Egghead is a huge, dark, thick cloud that has no gaps.
I think it's the shadow of the ship.
Yeah. Whatever. And the thing is, it goes against what Mar said about, you know, the power plant and not
destroying. Yeah, but I feel like with that, it would just be like one big fucking. No, it was multiple explosions though. That shit would set off everything.
16, bolts of lightning or whatever. But I just think, like, I'm not gonna lie, I don't see what else that could be. It looks unnatural as fuck.
I think if you're gonna destroy the place, then you probably destroy it with a big blast like that to supersede whatever explosion would come from the power plant.
Yeah.
If they so chose to go that route, because few panels before this, they seem like they're choosing not to destroy everything if they don't want to, if they can help it, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. So I just thought that, like, that's a possibility that could be there. Yeah, exactly. Shrouder in the chat said the same thing. Like, they said they didn't want to destroy it, but I'm not gonna lie. If you look at that panel, that shit looks suspicious.
Yeah.
Those are some clouds.
For real. Those
are some clouds. yeah, definitely a crazy reveal. Anything else you guys want to talk? This is a short chapter. I feel like this is mad short.
I agree. I completely agree.
People
that I usually read it with said it was long. I'm like, oh, I don't think it was long
at all. This shit is short as fuck. I can't lie.
I also want to say, I don't think we touched on it, but Bonnie turning like giant.
Yes.
First of all, that panel looks just like the Joy, Nika panel when Luffy did it.
Yeah, when Luffy for Kaido.
Yeah, and I'm still looking for Bonnie to, like, basically transform into Nika herself. because she now knows, like, you know, that Luffy's Nika and what that embodies. But that would be interesting for me, at least, to see. And as far as this whole thing, so y'all said that they're not going to, Vegapunk is not going to get his entire message off.
I don't think so.
Do you think that he'll be able to explain this?
Yes, I think that whatever he's revealed just now is going to get explained to the whatever extent he wants to explain it. I think that it's either going to be like Mr. Set and he'll try to get to the second sin and he'll get cut off, or he will get both sins out and he'll have one last thing to say and then it'll get cut off. I don't think we get everything that Vegapunk wants, because he knows too much.
Yeah.
He knows way too much to get all of his knowledge exposed at this moment.
What I trust about Oda is that the knowledge that Vegapunk could have is not complete. There's just stuff that you have to acquire all the Poneglyphs for and go to Laugh Tale to find. The stuff that they said about the people of the D, that Odin talked about in his journal, that we learned who the people of the D were, we learned what the ancient weapons were, we learned the truth of the world. I think, obviously, Vegapunk knows probably 90% of it, but there's some stuff that we will find out once we go to Laugh Tale. So to that end, I think, like, this might be a good time for Oda to drop the bombs. And even though I do agree that, like, it's hard to see him getting it off, what I will say is that I'm leaning more and more towards the fact that, like, Vegapunk has tricked them at every turn. He's literally beat them in every mind game ever. So I think he'll do it one last time. I know Oda likes to go out with a bang. I think Vegapunk will cook these games. That's my guess. He will beat them without a shadow of a doubt and get everything he wants to say off.
Now that you say that, because it made me think of chess, and I was like, fucking Vegapunk's been ahead, and then Oda made the cover story with the chess pieces and stuff like that. So, you know, nice little nod there, because Vegapunk, like you said, Vegapunk's been ahead this whole time on the Gorosei.
I mean, the chapter is called Stalemate, so...
True, you're right.
Yeah, and, you know, if you ever play chess or seen, like, you know, professional chess players or anything of the sort, a stalemate is very, very tricky to navigate, because essentially you're in basically a gridlock, in a sense. So any little thing that happens can dictate, like, how the match goes, or it's so locked that no one wants to make a move, because then something crazy could happen if you make the wrong move. So I'm looking forward to seeing what subtle thing that allows either the Gorosei to continue moving forward or continue to stay the way they are. And most likely the answer to that would be York.
Yep.
If she can figure out where that transponder snail is, then the stalemate will be broken.
shit. I'm hoping though that Vegapunk sent that shit out to Dragon. Like,
yo, just get it off the island, man.
Yeah, like that would have been the ultimate move. Like, because y'all never will find Dragon. Like,
he definitely not here. I can say that much. Yeah. I think a great theory I heard was, well, I mean, this is like a super like 7D chess level move by Vegapunk. It's also not supported by evidence from earlier in the arc that he foresaw everything York did, and
because of her greed.
I was thinking that too. And I've heard people say that like somehow he snuck it in her body somehow, in terms of like maybe the food she ate or something like that. Like, I've heard this theory that I thought that was kind of cool, because it would make the Gorosei choose between the power station or stopping the broadcast.
True, that would be the, yeah, you're right.
Which would be the way for Vegapunk to get like a stalemate kind of win, like you said, Mod.
Yeah,
that is.
But that is like a man. If, I don't know if I believe that he didn't. He knew it was her. You know what I mean? Based on them not knowing who the villain was in the beginning of the
game. I think it's more like coincidence type thing. If anything, like if he were to do something like that, it wouldn't be because he knew York would betray him, but it would be because of all the Vegapunks. He assumed that York was like the most laid back, the most chill and stuff. So, you know, sneaking it into her food, because he thought that she probably wouldn't care, because, you know, her function isn't to like, you know, overthink things.
It's to,
you know, provide substance sort of for the Vegapunks and stuff to exist and function and stuff. So as long as that's the case, I mean, yeah, I can see that. But at the same time, the only problem I have with that is she doesn't just eat. She also takes care of other bodily functions, which means she still uses the bathroom. And yeah, I just couldn't, you know what I mean?
Well, see, you have to like stretch your imagination to get like me, like, and which is why I don't like it. But I've heard of it. I don't
it. Yeah, but. Yeah, regardless though, I can't wait to see the next chapters. So it sucks that we're on break, but
so fucked up. You hate to see it.
Break after a reveal like this is very unfortunate.
Oh man, damn. I did not know there was a break.
Now we got another two weeks to brainstorm.
There's no Oda break after, is there? Like, is it 2 weeks of break or just one?
I do not know the schedule, I'm not gonna lie to you.
Bro, I could see an Oda break happening right after the Golden Week break. I'm not gonna lie.
Very unfortunate, but I'm not mad at Oda having to take his breaks, man. Definitely,
yeah, it's true. Be healthy. Yeah, before we wrap up, I will say we hit 250 subscribers on YouTube.
Nice.
Yes.
So we're kind of moving
for subscribing.
So yeah,
big shout out.
So like because we were at like 246. So yesterday I was at a party, and I was just dominating a beer pong, and you know, so I hit the same cup as my partner, made so that we automatically won. They didn't make any cups, so it was either like they got to do a naked lap or something like that. So we had them take a shot, and I was like, you know what, aside from that, you got to subscribe to my podcast. So I got a few subscribers from doing that yesterday, bro. So, you know,
we're doing the footwork on that. I respect it. We appreciate it.
Hey, you know, gotta keep spread the word, bro. Yeah, so, man. You know,
yes, we're lit. Much love to everybody that subscribes on YouTube. We appreciate you guys. We're gonna keep going up. Sir. You know the way to go.
Yes, sir.
Any last questions, comments, concerns before we wrap this up?
Nah,
that's it, man.
Yeah. All right, chapter.
Inevitably, we'll be like, someone will send us something, or we'll see something today. They're like, "Oh fuck, I should have said that on the pod." But
yeah,
that's literally how it goes every pod, bro. Yeah.
Every pod.
It really do be like that. Gonna wrap it up here. Much love to everybody that was in the Twitch and YouTube chats today. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Much love. If you don't watch the streams live, make sure you come to the YouTube channel Shrad Sit Down or my Twitch channel twitch.tv/CaliMac Sundays, so that you can hang out with us. Come talk to us, man. We don't bite, I promise. Much love to everybody that's listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Podbean, etc. We appreciate all you guys. Make sure you guys subscribe to the YouTube. We're at 250. We're trying to keep going. All right. So make sure you guys subscribe to the YouTube. You can find us on YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram @ShradSitDown. You look for us, you will find us. I think that's about it. Yeah, I think that's about it.
Sure.
Hope you guys enjoyed the episode. We'll be back next week. No chapter next week, but we'll be back with some One Piece shenanigans for you guys. Keep you guys entertained until Oda comes back. All right, you guys take it easy. Be safe, be healthy. We appreciate you guys. And we will see y'all when we see y'all. Take it easy. Peace, peace, peace.
Later, y'all.
Peace, y'all. Later.
Peace.
Who gon' get down? We are.
We are.
This destroy has sit down. We are.
We are.
Who the crew with the fleet? We are.
We are.
Who gon' piece that one piece? We are.
We are.
Who gon' get down? We are.
We are.
This destroy has sit down. We are.
We are.
Who the crew with the fleet? We are.
We are.
Who gon' piece that one piece? We are. Straw hat, sit down, crew in the building. We promoting to these other podcasts. We gon' put these people in their feelings when they hear this and they know that they can't top this. We spit facts and we popping every time an episode is dropping. We see D3 in the corner, Mister, that's a real G with the green screen in the background. Got him looking like he in a real scene. We got Big Mod in the cut, always ready with rebuttals, but he bring the knowledge when we in the huddle, so you know the crew is never gonna fumble. And it's Wallace, last but not least, if you ask me, then Cali, Matt the captain, make a rally around me. Every Sunday, we gon' run deep, and we can't stop until we find out about that one piece. Who gon' get down? We are.
We are.
This destroy has sit down. We are.
We are.
Who the crew with the fleet? We are.
We are.
Who gon' piece that one?
We are.
Who gon' get down? We are.
We are.
This that straw hat sit down. We are.
We are.
Who the crew with the fleet? We are.
We are.
Who gon' piece that one piece? We are.